It's time now for Tiger Talk Overtime.
We need you. We need the fans. We need the Auburn family. We need the staff. We need the players. We need everyone in this building that is involved in our program to buy into our core values to drive this train.
Nobody split. Give the ball up and over and in, I believe.
Ball pass, front court, Brian Smith, baseline, eight-footer, in and out, no good. Oh, my goodness, they put it down by Porter. Oh, my goodness. Hello, Abbeville, Alabama, a one-handed slam.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac to the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy. Touchdown.
Reach it down, he knocked it away. Ball loose on the deck. Throws it back out. Harper gets it. Harper down the floor. Harper shovels it to Brown for three. Yeah!
I tell you, you ain't going to run to get any popcorn if we keep this up.
I knew we could be competitive in men's basketball at Auburn. I didn't think that championships were necessarily in the cards. Auburn's a special place. I had a special team.
Bryce eyes the bucket, spins it up. In and out, no. Rebound, Washington saved it. Up, Brown is there for three and a quarter. Yeah, baby!
All right.
Auburn leads.
Get back, play some defense now.
We've come a long way. And just grateful for the opportunity. Understand that if it wasn't for Auburn bringing me to be their basketball coach, I never would have the opportunity to realize, obviously, one of my goals as a college coach is to get to the Final Four.
That does it. History has been made. The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Tiger Talk Overtime is presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now at 343-0106. Now, here's your host, Doug Holton.
All right, thanks very much. Welcome into the show, everybody. Thursday night and Tiger Talk Overtime, as always. And kind of an in-between week for Auburn Athletics this week. Spring practice is not quite underway. It starts next week. But we're going to talk some football tonight with former quarterback Jason Campbell. We'll talk about the quarterbacks and the coaching changes, the recruiting changes, a lot of football coming your way in just a little bit here on Tiger Talk Overtime. But we want to start things off tonight with college basketball, even though the Tigers and Bruce Pearl are off, or were off, Wednesday night, midweek this week, after a disappointing loss to Kentucky. They've got Georgia coming up this weekend in Athens, and a tough ball game against Tennessee coming up on the road as well. So we want to talk some basketball at the top of the show tonight. Glad to have with us Kevin Fichtner, as always, from Auburn, and former Tiger Zepp Jasper is with us as well to talk some Auburn basketball and some hoops tonight. And guys, welcome into the show. Zepp, I know it was a disappointing weekend last Saturday for the Auburn Tigers. A lot of people going into that ball game with a lot of enthusiasm. Most people thought Auburn would win the basketball game. Of course, they didn't. So it was a tough game, a tough Saturday as far as the basketball game. But I know you were back in town in Auburn, and I know that's always a great experience to be back on the plains anytime you can get back.
It was a very good experience, you know, just being back, you know, in Neville Arena, seeing all my old teammates and new teammates of, you know, Auburn team this year. You know, we didn't get the outcome that we wanted, but you know, it was just one of those games that, you know, it was just a game that they was cold, you know, couldn't make, I think it was like 4 for 24, 25, 3-point percentage. You know, we had a little bit of tweaks on defense. You know, just one of the things that when you look back at it, if we would have made a couple of shots, maybe 3 or 4 more threes that game, we still would have been in the game no matter how bad we shot the ball.
Yeah.
You know, it just guys all over the place. And like I said, we couldn't make no shots. And from time to time, we brought the lead down to maybe 4 or 5 with like 11 minutes to go in the second half. I thought we would make a push. I was over there the whole time talking to a lady. It's like, we're going to make a push. So they might as well get ready. But as soon as we brought it down to 4 or 5, and Reeves started making every single basket from 10 minutes on down to the end of the game, he really closed out the game against us, showing him why he's one of the best players in the SEC.
Yep, exactly right. And Kevin, I know you were there as well. And it seemed a lot to me like that first half at Alabama, where Auburn just couldn't buy one for whatever reason. And like Zepp said, 3, 4, 5 baskets that go in instead of rattle out, and we have a different outcome last week.
That is right, man. Like Zepp said, that crowd was ready to get into it. They're ready to roar. Every time we made a little run, we would make a foul, we would throw it out of bounds, we'd miss more shots, and Kentucky would score 4 or 5. You know, really wasn't the Kentucky defense that did much to us. It was our offense we couldn't get going. You know, we held them to 70, so like we did good on defense. We just couldn't hit shots. But it was so hard to believe that coming off a 40-point win on Wednesday night, you know, game day there, Pearlville. It was just one of those inopportune days where we couldn't get it going. We couldn't get hot, and we couldn't keep that momentum. We couldn't get a run going. So it was tough, but, you know, we'll move on.
Mm-hmm. Zepp, what do you think? The cold shooting in spurts for the Tigers this year, last weekend, was that a result of being too hyped for the game? Do you think a lot of people were really talking about that Kentucky game and that Auburn should win it? Does that play into a game like that? Can you get too high for a game against Kentucky like that?
Well, I don't think it's the highs of the game. You know, when you look at every board, you look at every person, they really had Auburn winning in every scenario, from, like I say, ESPN, CBS Sports, College Game Day. Kentucky was not the favorite. Auburn was the favorite in every situation. You know, so Kentucky, those guys had a chip on their shoulder. You know, John Calipari, one of the best coaches in college basketball, one of the most known college coaches ever that ever coached college basketball. So it was one of those things that when you look at it, I don't think they was hyped, because I feel like our guys can beat Kentucky. I feel like if we played them again, I feel like we would beat them, you know, which I felt like that the first time, but it'd be a little different because, you know, that game was just, it just wasn't our day, you know, and you're going to have those type of games. I was like, I told a lady, maybe we should have shot the ball better against, you know, Kentucky instead of South Carolina. At least I know when we play South Carolina, they don't match up with us. Like, you know, their biggest guy is maybe 6'8 on the block. Our biggest guy is 6'11. Dylan 6'11. So I just felt like I wish we would have shot way better against Kentucky, but you know, it happens. You know, I've seen a lot of fans mad and, you know, pouting, saying we need to do this, we need to do that, but we're still ranked top 15 in the nation. Like, we're still one of the best teams in the nation. Kentucky is still one of the best teams in the nation. So every time I see stuff, I don't like it, because it's like, if we would have won that game, it would have been a different outcome.
Yeah, no question about it. And Kentucky and Alabama match up this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And Auburn's still in the top four in the conference. I think if we can get one of those byes in the tournament in a couple of weeks, that would be a pretty good regular season for the Auburn Tigers and Bruce Pearl. Zepp, what do you think about, I guess, the big topic last week after the game and coming into this week is Jalen Williams and his status for Saturday, his status for the rest of the way. What are you hearing, and what do you think Auburn will do lineup wise if he's not able to go the next 2 weeks?
Well, if he's not able to go the next 2 weeks, I think it'd be one of those things that, you know, Janai play extra minutes. Shaney will get more minutes, maybe can get his confidence up, because it'd be one of those things that while Jalen is out, it could be, you know, one of those great things that he gets more confidence, work on his game out there, and just, you know, coming from a D2 and going to a D1 is pretty tough, more physical. SEC is one of the best leagues in college basketball. So, you know, maybe give Chris Moore some chance at the four, which he played some of the four when I was there last year. So, you know, I think guys have to accept a bigger role with Jalen being out, because Jalen is a key point to the team. He's actually like the he's the main focal point of the team, because without Jalen, it kind of throws things off. So I think we need guys like KD Johnson to score more, Denver Jones to step up and get a bigger role, because, you know, we got a tough stretch. I think we got Tennessee, Georgia. I think Georgia's looking to win a game. You know, they're trying to stay in that race to make the tournament because they lost a couple games. So those type of teams, they're scary to play against. So, and they know with one of our top players out, they're going to try to do their best to, you know, stop Janelle in the paint.
Yeah, I think Georgia's 5-8 in the conference coming into this weekend. So you think they just try to slide somebody into that four spot? They don't try to go smaller and outquick people?
I think they'll put Chris Moore at the four and move either Chris Moore or Chaney at the four, you know, and just, you know, those two guys be the four. Maybe Chad Baker-Mazzara go to the three and Chris Moore go to the four. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what they want. But like I said, it's going to be one of those things that guys are going to have to step up. Like Jalen brings so much to the table. He's a quiet guy, but he just does so much out there. And, you know, he's just one of those players that we need guys to step up without him being out there.
All right, a few more minutes coming up with Zepp Jasper and Kevin Fichtner on Auburn basketball. We'll continue and we'll get into the Georgia game this weekend, what might happen without Jalen Williams there for the Tigers. So stay with us on Tiger Talk Overtime, back in just a minute.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
Welcome back. Kevin Fichtner and Zepp Jasper talking some basketball with us tonight. Before the break, guys, we're about to get into the Georgia game. Kevin, tell me your thoughts on taking on the Dogs, and I know you have some questions for your good buddy Zepp.
Yeah, I think it would be huge to get a win. We've had a week off. I know we lost Jalen to injury, but from Saturday to Saturday, those guys are going to rest. They're going to regroup. I think Bruce gave them a couple days off. Let's get this win at Georgia. You know, see if we can do that. And then, you know, we're at Tennessee. I don't know how that'll go, but we're home to Mississippi State, at Missouri, who hasn't won a game in the SEC, and then we end with Georgia at home. So if we could get a win this weekend at Georgia, that would be great. Zepp, I want to know more about you. You mentioned off Zoom before we started the noise that happens between people like us that talk about sports, the fans. You were in the locker room. You mentioned earlier that, you know, y'all try to not hear that noise. Talk about what that's like, hearing all this noise. We should have beaten Kentucky. We should have done this. All these people that think they know what they're talking about. And then there's you guys in the locker room that are together, stay strong together. Talk about that locker room bond.
Well, I think it's like, you know, once you see those things on Twitter, you see Auburn fans, you know, just disappointing in losing. You know, I think of it like sometimes you got to lose to figure out the things you need to do to succeed, you know, in basketball. So you got guys on the team that needs people to have that confidence. The only thing they rely on is their family and friends to give them key points to be, how can they be better? But they're not in the film room. They don't see what happens inside the practices or none of that. You know, just one of those things that when you have slumps, you need everyone to give you that confidence to get you back to where you need to be. So, you know, like I said, you got a couple guys on the team that's in slumps, and, you know, I was one of those guys that was in their shoes before. And, you know, I used to see a lot of things, but, you know, I always look at it and told myself that, you know, I was never going to be worried about those things, because I feel like, you know, once my shots start going in, it's going to go in. And once they start going in, I'm never going to look back. But, you know, when you're always on fire, people love you. When you're cold, they hate you.
That's bad in some respects and good in some respects. That's kind of what Coach Pearl has built at Auburn, that the Auburn fans, the Auburn family, they want to win every game now. And we're 9-4 in the conference. And, you know, people are, they kind of get disappointed if you lose to Mississippi State or Kentucky. So that's a good and a bad thing, I guess.
I would say it's a good and a bad. You can't win every game, you know, being realistically. With me playing on that 21-22 team with Jabbar and Walker, you know, we had two five-star McDonald All-American guys. You know, we still lost games, even though we was the regular season champs. But, you know, it's proof that you're going to lose games. People make game plans. People figure out how to stop you. And you're going to have nights where you just can't make shots at all. I remember playing Texas A&M. I think we was most definitely the favorites to beat Texas A&M that year. And when I tell you, we was cold. I think we had like 10 points in 13 minutes. One of the worst shooting nights we ever played ever since I've been in Auburn. So Auburn family, we can't win every game, but just be relaxed because we're in the race to still win the SEC regular season champions.
I know one of the things we've been talking about, Kevin, is Aiden Holloway and his role on this ball club. We were talking about that a little bit off the air, but during this time when Jalen is out, maybe you're talking about a five-star guy, like you mentioned, Zepp, and a guy who's been going through a little tough time. Maybe this is a time, Kevin, for him to step up and show what he can do.
Yeah, we've talked all year. I mean, this guy's a five-star basketball player. He has confidence. You know, he was averaging 17 points a game earlier in the season. Right now, he's going through a tough slump. He hasn't been able to hit shots, whether it's three-pointers, two-pointers, you know. But I think Zepp would probably agree, and you can talk about this too, Zepp. Shooters got to shoot, especially when you walk into the gym and you're in range, you know. Eventually, it's going to go down. We've got to keep supporting him. He's got to keep shooting. I'm sure he's doing the work when nobody's watching, you know. Zepp, talk about that a little bit, about what your maybe conversation you have with him or any advice you would give him.
My advice would be, you know, block out the noise. Try to get that confidence back. Try to get your game to where you want to be, to have it where you just block everyone out. Because he's a great shooter. I would think he's the best shooter on the team. A great leader, a great person. He always put the team before himself. He's one of those guys, one of the nicest people on earth. And, I believe in him so much, because, you know, he was waking up 6-5 in the morning, working on his game, coming in at night, working on his game. And, you know, I just feel like he's going to have one of those games that he just catch fire, because he's so hard on himself because he can't believe he's in this slump. But like I say, a lot of people don't see what he does off the court, you know, or on the court in practice or staying after practice to make sure to get back on that right point.
All right, Georgia coming up this weekend, 5:00 Central Time, 6:00 Eastern on the SEC Network. As we wrap up, guys, give me a thought on that game, a player you think might make a difference and stand out, do something different. And maybe a key or two to victory this weekend. Kevin, what do you think?
You know, Leor might have to step up. Leor Berman, you know, he's been known for being a three-point shooter. He hasn't had the best of years. He kind of gets abused on defense when he's in there. But let's see what he can do on offense. Let's see if he can provide a spark. We know the other guys, we've talked about them. But what about Leor? Maybe Leor can provide a 8-point game, you know, give 7 to 10 minutes that he normally doesn't do. So Leor's my guy.
What do you think, Zep?
I'm going to go with two guys. I'm going to go with Denver Jones, and I'm going to go with Katie Johnson. Katie's coming back to, you know, where it all started at. I think he got a chip on his shoulder. I think he's the engine to the team. And I just feel like he had one of those games that he just going reckless mode and just go crazy. So I'll be looking forward to seeing those faces, to giving the energy, to just talking trash to Georgia fans. And, you know, I just feel like he's going to have a great game.
Yeah. Is there any game when KD doesn't go reckless and have a crazy game? That was a joke.
I don't think so, but maybe the games we lose. Yeah. But I think KD's one of those type. We was down by 30. I still think he still would think we up by one the way he plays. He still would do faces and still be him.
Yeah, I thought he should have got to the rim or should have been given the opportunity to get to the rim a little more against Kentucky. But, guys, appreciate the visit, and hopefully the Tigers come out with a big win this weekend. And, as always, we'll enjoy the ball game Saturday, and War Eagle.
War Eagle, Doug.
All right, nice visit with Zeb Jasper and Kevin Fichtner talking some college basketball. When we come back, it's college football with former quarterback Jason Campbell. We'll talk about spring practice on the way back. Stay here on Tiger Talk Overtime.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106. Now, back to Doug Holton.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Time to talk some Auburn football, and joining us on the show, former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell, now a member of the Auburn Network and the color analyst for the Tigers. And Jason, great to have you with us. I know you don't have a lot of time right now because you've got a new addition there. Congratulations on expanding the family.
What a joy. You know, my wife and I, we're honored and so thankful and blessed to have her. I tell you what, Doug, she's quite the character. Like, she lets you know when she's hungry.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't like a dirty diaper on her. So she's going to let you know that. And then she likes to sleep. So don't interrupt those three things and you'll be all right.
She takes it after her dad, huh?
Yeah, there you go. She takes the food after her dad. She takes the sleeping, you know, I guess that's from her mom. But, you know, babies sleep anyways. But as far as, you know, dirty diaper, whoo. Now that one there, I wasn't expecting how many dirty diapers you go through in a day.
Yeah,
the smell of those dirty diapers. I like, man, that coming up out of that little person. Yeah, that's some smells. It's nothing rosy.
Definitely an experience. I remember that quite well. But yeah. Spring football coming up starting next Tuesday. So I wanted to have you on and talk a little bit about that. Before we get to spring, I wanted to get your take on the two new additions in the coaching staff that we had. This week, I think Kenyatta Watson as Auburn's director of recruiting, research, and strategy, and Maurice Harris as director of football and recruiting relations. So, the staff and the positions continue to grow. Recruiting is getting to be a complex business.
Yeah, it's almost like the NFL, right? You know, you got to get GMs now. You got to get someone that's over recruiting. You got to have NIL representation. So it's almost like the minor leagues of the NFL, where guys got to go out and they got to judge talent. You know, you got to, because you have to, now these guys are getting paid in college. You know, it's a business. So to make sure that these guys are getting quality players, you got to have someone that can put an eye on these players on a daily basis, because the coaches just don't have the time, you know, between trying to, you know, implement your offense, defense, and what you want to do from a position group. That takes a lot of time, and then having to recruit your own players now. You know, I think it's safe to say that your coaches that are on staff, most of their attention needs to come to trying to recruit their own players while you have another set of eyes that's out there watching the high school guys, so that when they come and have a meeting, then now they can watch together and then they can go out and not have any time wasted just from that standpoint of it. So, yeah, it's a different world out there. It's a different game. And, you know, Auburn's had a lot of change over this offseason. And everything. So, you know, we'll see how things move forward.
Yeah. Speaking of the changeover, we talked just a second ago about Cadillac. You got your Raiders cap on. He's going to the Raiders to be the running backs coach. And, you spent some time with the Raiders, not in Las Vegas, but, yeah. He's obviously a close friend of yours. What do you think of Cadillac moving out there?
Yeah. You know, Lat, welcome to the Raider family. You know, once a Raider, always a Raider. You know, I think he's going to enjoy it at the NFL level. The one thing about it, he gets to go to Vegas. You know, I had him when we was in Oakland. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the real Raiders, you know, down there in Vegas and everything. They get to, you know, live under the bright lights and, you know, and everything. So I can imagine the people that be trying to come out and visit him and his family. Just to have a reason now to go to Vegas, that people that haven't been to Vegas or, you know, don't know much about it, but got it on their bucket list. I'm pretty sure he'll be filling in a lot of calls. But I think it's, you know, for him, you know, under Antonio Pierce, who's another former NFL player as a head coach. I think he has 7 former NFL players on his coaching staff. So I think Lack going there with a lot of familiarity with a lot of those guys, I think helps this transition a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about spring football a little bit. We got a couple of days before we get underway, but just your general take, Jason, I guess, as to what you're expecting, what kind of battles do you see out there? A lot of talk, of course, about the receiving core coming in. We got a couple of those guys on campus, I think. And of course, everybody wants to talk about the quarterbacks, which you're an expert at. Do you think we'll see a big battle at quarterback, or is that kind of getting overhyped a little bit?
No, I think you will see a battle. The reason I say that is I think Peyton Thorne had an opportunity in the bowl game to come out and kind of, you know, put that to rest a little bit, but he didn't, you know. And I think with that being said, it kind of left the door open for an open competition. And it has to be a real open competition, just because of the simple fact that you don't have to be afraid no more, Doug, to play young quarterbacks, because these kids, they started seventh grade, all these 7-on-7 camps. You know, they play travel ball. A lot of high school coaches, you think about Rhett Lashley, Gus Malzahn, Coach Freeze, you know, a lot of guys that was at the high school level are now in college. So they're running a lot of those offenses now. So when they go do these seminars, a lot of high school coaches are running what the college guys are running. And so now you're seeing that transition move from college to the NFL. So they've learned to get better product is, you know, have an understanding. And these kids nowadays, they have an understanding when they step foot on campus of a lot of these offenses. And you saw that last year. Hank Brown didn't touch the field the entire year. And when he got into the game, in the bowl game, you just saw the ball spinning off his hand just differently. You know, and to me, there was no indecision. There was no, you know, happy feet in the pocket. You know, the kid just came out like he was in command. You know, the ball was just coming off his hand. He was going through his progression, just cutting it loose. To me, that's a kid that understands, you know, the offense and understands the game, but wasn't flustered about anything. Now, of course, it was certain different circumstances later in the game, but still, as a quarterback, those are the things that you watch. You know, how the ball come off, how does, you know, the quick decisions, those type of things. And I think Hank put himself in the opportunity to say, hey guys, don't forget about me over here, you know. And he typically was a red shirt last year, so yeah, he will have a chance to compete as a red shirt freshman. And then you got Walker White, who everyone has a lot of high praise for coming out of high school. You know, I had a really good all-star game, and he's a guy that I've seen him in person. He looks like a SEC quarterback. And so you have some young talented quarterbacks that's coming in with one of the best receiving classes of all time in Auburn history. Yeah. And you know, you're going to have Cam Coleman and Bryce Kane and, you know, some of the transfer guys that came in at their receiving core. So you immediately have up your receiver room and everything. But I think what comes in handy, and Enrico Walker, another tight end, is coming in to play along with Fairweather, you know, that's athletic as well. I think what happens now is if you're Peyton Thorne, if you want to win this job, you have to show command early. You got to get these guys rolling early. You got to show that senior leadership, but you got to have patience. And what I mean, if you're going to have the Cam Coleman's and the Perry Thompson that'll be here in the summer, Perry Thompson, but Cam is here now, him and Bryce, those guys are going to make some outstanding plays, but they're also going to require some patience, yeah, you know, because until they get their feet wet and get used to doing things. So it's a way that he has to be able to communicate with those guys to get them to believe in him as their quarterback. So, you know, he still can win the job, but he's got to show more command and more leadership in dealing with his teammates. If he's going to be the guy, I think the most important thing for any of this, for this football team, is what are we going to do in the trenches? You lose Coach Garrett to Jacksonville. You move up Coach Vontrell, you know, who's kind of been an understudy of Coach Garrett. So he kind of knows the ins and outs. You have a young defensive line, but then you still have some veteran guys. You go out, you get Gage Keys from Kansas, you know, who's expected to be one of the stars. You get Trill Carter from University of Texas. But then you got Jason Jones, who's still there. You know, Jason, this is a big year for Jason. You know, you lose Justin Rogers, you lose Marcus Harris. So these guys got to step up. You still get Keldrick Falk and McLeod. So you got talent at the defensive line that I think can create pressure on the quarterbacks, which we didn't get a lot of last year, but I think this group can create pressure. But then the offensive line, to me, with Dylan Wade be one of the premier left tackles in the SEC this year. You know, you lose Gunnar Britton, who's probably one of the better guards. Will Jaden Muskrat fill that role? Or will Tutal Miller, who's out at right tackle, will he stay at right tackle? Will he move inside? And then Connor Liu at the center position. So you have a lot of talent, Doug, I think that we've had over been in the last couple of years. Now just about getting this team to gel together and getting that chemistry.
Yeah. And with the talent we have through through recruiting and the portal, we talked a little bit about the interesting season in the SEC that's coming up without divisions. But with the guys we have, do you feel like we're ready to compete at the highest level? Obviously, we showed that a little bit last year. But, you know, how far along do you think we are?
Well, it all comes down to who's who's going to be the quarterback. You know, how far can your quarterback take you, you know, when the pressure's on and pressure moments in the games? The best thing we have going, we have a strong run game. You know, you still got Jerquez, you still got Austin, you still got Jeremiah Cobb and those guys, you know, you still have coming back. And, you know, if you can run the football really well, that takes a lot of pressure off your quarterbacks. And defensively, you look at the defensive backs, you picked up guys in the portal. But most importantly, you still got Kyan Lee. And then you got Keontae Scott that you now can move from inside to outside. But then you got some young guys like the Tyler Scotts and those guys that redshirted last year, Sylvester Smith, and those guys that now have a chance to step up, as well as some of the veteran guys that they was able to bring in. So the roster is shaped up to where you got speed, and speed is the name of the game now. You know, it's not so much just big and strong, but speed. And how fast would our linebacker play? We get the linebacker from Duke. I think it's going to be a huge addition with Austin Keys and Eugene Asante and, you know, Reddit, the high school star guy that came out. So you have guys that can run, Doug. You have guys that know the game. We lost a lot of games last year, and we was right there, Georgia game, you know, Bama game, you know. But then you scratch your head when you lose games like New Mexico State, you know, Maryland, you know, those type of teams that shouldn't be on the field with us. When you lose those type of games, you don't really know how far the gap is, because when you watch the Georgia and Bama game, you're like, okay, we're closing the gap. But then you go and lose the games like that, and you're like, okay, maybe we're not closing the gap. So yeah. I think I do think we are closing the gap just based off of recruiting. Last year we finished top 12. This year we finished top 10. And so I think that alone, I think it tells us we are actually closing the gap a little bit.
Visiting with former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell just a little bit, talking about Auburn football and spring practice coming up next week. We start on Tuesday, and we'll continue our conversation talking about the quarterbacks, the defense, and much more. Glad you're with us on a Thursday night of Tiger Talk Overtime. And we'll continue right here on FM Talk 106.5 in just a minute. Stay with us.
This is Head Coach Hugh Freeze. You're listening to Tiger Talk Overtime on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Tiger Talk Overtime, presented by Will2, number one in quality and safe work for industry. To be a part of the show, call the Morgan Bradley Alpha Insurance Tiger Line now, 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We are talking some Auburn football here on Tiger Talk Overtime with former Tiger quarterback Jason Campbell. And great to have Jason with us tonight. And Jason, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the Tigers heading into spring football. I want to get to the quarterbacks, of course, with you. But we had a couple of guys down here in the defensive backfield, three guys to be exact, from Auburn at the Senior Bowl. Nehemiah Pritchett, DJ James, and also Jalen Simpson. And it seems to me those corner spots are going to be key. I know we have some talent coming in, like you mentioned before, but it seems to me like really chiseling that out and figuring out who can play next season at corner for Auburn is going to be a key this spring.
Yeah, you got guys, and that's the key. Like, you look at a Colton Hood, you know, who's his uncle is Rod Hood, if anyone remember playing here at Auburn back in our days.
Yeah.
But then you got, like I said, you have Kyan Lee, who was a highly touted guy coming out of high school, and he started the first three games last year because Nehemiah was hurt, and he showed a lot of promise. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he's locking up one of those corner positions. Like I said, Keontae moving from inside to outside helps. But then, you know, the transfer, I think, from Toledo, I think we got, who's supposed to be really good at corner. You know, you got him. Then you get the transfer from Bama, who transferred over as well in the secondary.
Yeah.
So then you ask yourself, where's J.D. Rim? Will J.D. Rim be a guy that can step up and help this team this year? You know, because there are going to be some young guys, like we talked about Coden Hood and those guys. Will J.D. Rim be someone that can step up? Who fills Simpson's position? You know, that's the big question mark. Like, you know, Kaufman has hit the transfer portal, you know, so, you know, who fills that position? Who's going to be the guy back there that becomes the ball hog on defense when the ball is in the air in that secondary? And so we'll see.
Speaking with Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, about Auburn spring practice coming up next week. And Jason, I wanted to get back for a minute to the quarterback situation. You didn't mention Holden Garner, who's also one of the guys we have. Do you think he's number four going into the spring? And I know probably with four quarterbacks, we're going to have somebody maybe see the portal after spring practice, don't you think?
Yeah, you kind of expect that, right? You know, I think if you see anybody hit the portal in May, it would probably be Holden. You know, I think Holden's probably saying, hey, look, I'm going to give this thing a spring to see what happens, because, you know, he got in the bowl game, but you stand on the sideline for a long time. And I know Hank came in and did well, and, you know, Holden, you know, kind of didn't look that good, you know, in the bowl game, you know, and everything. But I'm pretty sure him having a full off season, he has a big arm and everything. It's either make it, break it spring for him. You know, either he's going to make some value this spring and say, hey, I got a real shot at this thing. Or he's going to say, you know what, I gave it a shot, I tried it, it's not happening for me, I'm going to move on. I think he's the one person that is a make it or break it spring, because Thorne's a senior, so this is all he has. The other two guys are young pups, so it's no rush, but they also want to play. But Holden is the guy that got to make a real decision, like, because now he's going to his third year. You know, is this going to be my real opportunity? Is this it for me, or is it elsewhere? So I think he's the domino, I think, out of all the quarterbacks, that if someone, you know, need to have a make or break it spring, is him.
Yeah. And the other guy that pops in my head is Peyton. If he's not the starter coming out of spring, I would think he's got to be thinking along those lines too. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would think he would think along those lines, but as a senior, though, I don't think he has enough time to leave. You know, this is kind of what got him in a situation last year when he came from Michigan State. He wasn't able to come over in the springtime, and he missed all of spring ball.
Right.
And then all of a sudden summer comes, and he's hard-pressed trying to learn everything as quick as he can, and then trying to go through training camp, and all of a sudden the season is amongst you, and he's the starter. You know, and everything, where this year is different for him. I do expect to see a different Peyton, only because now he has an opportunity to go through a full spring. He's not rushing. He has a chance to sit back, observe, learn, and then go back and watch the film, not on what he did at Michigan State, but what he did at Auburn last year, and be able to improve off of that. And then having a second year where Coach Freeze will be the play caller this year. It won't be back and forth where, hey, is Coach Montgomery calling the plays or Coach Freeze calling the plays? We all know Coach Freeze is going to call the plays.
Mm-hmm.
So now these guys get a chance to build a rapport with each other. So it's going to come down. I think it's his to lose at this point, because he has a senior leadership. But he has to show something, though, physically, and decision-making, the ball coming off his hands during the spring, if he wants to hold off Walker White and hold off Hank Brown. You know, I think a lot of people are super excited about that kid. You know, he's got to do something to hold him off, because Coach Freeze, he probably won't have as much patience with him as he did last year, because he knew he came in late. He knew it was going to be some growing pains. So we'll see what happens.
You think Walker is in a position as a true freshman, or actually should be a high school senior, to come in and win the job?
Well, you know, you've seen it at other places. You know, you've seen guys come in and win. And everybody like, oh man, that kid's young, and all of a sudden, you know, he plays and does well. You know, Auburn's not afraid to play young quarterbacks. You know, I played as a redshirt freshman. Bo Nitz started as a true freshman. You know, so they started guys early on before. It's been a long time since Auburn's had a 3-4 year starter, though, you know, here at the program. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But if you're Walker, like, you got to feel like I have just as much opportunity as the rest of them. But, you know, he's in a win situation, because if he doesn't win the job,
got time.
Yeah, he got time. You can take a red shirt, you know, take a red shirt, sit back, learn, you know, develop, get stronger, and don't lose a year. You know, where the other guys is, they don't have a redshirt year.
Yep. And you mentioned Coach Freeze calling the plays and Kent Austin stepping in at quarterback coach this spring and next season. Mm-hmm. What you mentioned the play calling. Do you think it's totally Hugh Freeze, or will Kent Austin have a big role in that during the ball game or just during the week?
I think Austin has a lot to do during the week. I think as a play caller, you have to get into a rhythm and a flow of the game. You know, you have to know why you're calling certain plays on first and second down early in the first quarter and second quarter, because you're trying to set up something for the third and fourth quarter. And you want to get a certain look and see how the defense is reacting to those situations. And in order to do that, you have to be in the flow of the game as a play caller. That's one reason why he got the job, you know, is because of his play calling. You know, he's at Ole Miss, play calling. When he goes to Liberty, play calling. And I think you have to get back to doing what got you the job. You have to start getting back to what made you be successful in the first place. And I think, you know, him hiring Derrick Nitz coming over from Ole Miss, who was with him at Ole Miss, I think he put some familiar guys around him, because the simple fact of he know he's not going to always have the time to be in the room with these offensive guys. But Derrick Nitz knows what he's looking for in his offense, where he can communicate with the guys. Austin is another guy he knows that can communicate with the quarterbacks, communicate with the offense as well. So then when he steps into the room, it's not like we got to start over. He can just go right off where they stopped at, because they have an understanding of the offense. So I expect the offense to flow a lot better this year, especially with the new additions we got outside. But I do expect it to flow better just because he's calling the plays.
We touched on the schedule and the new formatting next year for the SEC. Finally, I want to get your take on that. No East and West, which is going to be different for people. It's going to be a real struggle, I guess, to see who gets to the championship game next year and see who finishes first and second.
Yeah, you're right. It's no East and West. It's going to be weird. No CBS. You know, we actually go to ABC, ESPN this year, so no CBS.
Maybe some Disney Plus, huh?
Right. So, you know, it's just everything's new this year. And you think about it as a whole, I think they take the top two records at the end of the year, goes to Atlanta and plays for the SEC championship. Right now, I think there's three games on the schedule that are non-conference. I think they're probably going to shoot moving forward to taking one of those non-conference games off and move towards a format of only having two non-conference games and the rest of them conference. But when you think about no East to West, like, it's anybody's league this year. You know, there's a lot of really good teams that's coming into here. You got Texas and Oklahoma, and then you have, you know, Ole Miss is kind of taking a step up a little bit, even though they lost their running back. You know, Alabama is a lot of question marks. You know, what did Bama do now that Nick Saban's retired? You know, Georgia seems to be the big dog now. You know, Kirby's building a brand over there, and you know, can someone knock off the dogs? And so Missouri is that sneaker team that had a really good season last year and has a lot of talent coming back and did really good in recruiting and in the portal this year. They're going to be a team to contend with. For Auburn, we have to go to Missouri. We got to go to Lexington, you know, in Kentucky. Two road games that are not easy. And then you got to go to Bama, and then we have to go to Georgia. So our road test next year is going to be a challenge, you know, as a whole. But when you talk about, there's no LSU on the schedule, which is weird. You know, LSU has always been a huge rival game since the early 1990s. There's always something fluke happens in that game. It's always something that keeps you on your edge, and to not be playing that rival game, you know, I don't know whether Auburn likes it or don't like it. I know from a fan perspective, you know, you hate to lose that game. You know, it's always been one of the fun ones you look forward to on the schedule. No Mississippi schools this year. We don't play Mississippi State or Ole Miss. You know, that's going to be weird. You know, that's, we've been playing each other for years. So not to have those two teams on the schedule is another one. So I think the league is in a really good spot. You know, you look at it as a whole, Doug, Florida, how much pressure this year is on Florida to have to do something? It's a lot of pressure. You know, it's a lot. Everyone's still trying to figure out the conferences this year. You know, Pac-12 has two teams right now.
Yeah.
And if you look at the playoff format, they're talking about taking the five, champions or something like that. And then the next seven, or whatever, how that's supposed to be. So I expect it to be a fun year because you now get on campus playoff football. Like, that's going to be fun. You imagine Auburn and Jordan-Hare playing a playoff game in early January. I mean, in early December, you know, it's going to be wild. Wow. We never had that before, you know? So it's just something that's going to make a lot of people tune into college football a lot more. You don't have the scenario this year where a Florida State team gets left out, you know, whether it was right or wrong, you won't have to answer that anymore. You know, you get a chance to battle it out. So I kind of like the format. I thought it should have been 8 instead of 12, but you know, 12 is better than 4.
Yeah. I kind of thought 8 as well, but we'll have the 12 team playoff and we'll have no East and West, and certainly an opportunity for Auburn to make some progress. I always equate it to, when Coach Bryant left Alabama and Coach Dye came in, it seems like that kind of opportunity for Hugh Freeze next year, the year after, to do something at Auburn. But Jason, always appreciate you being with us and taking time. I know you got duties elsewhere, so it's back to changing those diapers, right?
Yeah. You know, she's probably waiting on me right now. You know, so my wife's cooking right now. So I told her I need to sneak out a little bit and you know, go take care of my man Doug, do a Zoom with him, and then come back in and eat. As soon as I eat, you already know it's back to daddy night shift. So, you know, give my wife time to rest. But Doug, I wouldn't trade it. I know I've given football everything. I've given, you know, family and everything. And to now for my wife and I to have our first child. You know, it's a true honor. You know, it's a true blessing, especially the road it took to get there. We don't take it for granted. So, you know, it's definitely a great joy. And I take great pride in being a dad.
Absolutely. Congratulations again, and good luck. We'll see you soon, and looking forward to spring practice. War Eagle.
Yep, War Eagle. Appreciate it.
All right, Jason Campbell, former Auburn quarterback, joining us on the show tonight. Now, of course, a member of the Auburn Network. You hear him on Saturdays right here on FM Talk 106.5. Want to thank him for being with us again. Thanks to Kevin Fichtner and Zepp Jasper, former Auburn Tiger as well, for talking basketball in the first part of the show. And thanks to you for being with us most of all. Thanks to all of our great sponsors who keep us on the air. And thanks to Steve Stanley for actually keeping us on the air and producing our show. Does a fantastic job. That's all the time we have. We'll talk about Auburn, Georgia, and some more spring practice next time around. Until then, I'm Doug Holton, War Eagle, everybody. We'll see you next week.